Today on The Grave Talks, the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, continuing our conversation with Brandi Butcher. The Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum is located in historic Weston, West Virginia. It's a national historic landmark and served as a sanctuary for the mentally ill beginning in the mid-1800s. The history of the building is fascinating, so if you have not listened to part one, go back and listen to part one and learn all about the building itself. I'm Carol Husen for Tony Bruschi, and today on this episode of The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Brandi Butcher. She's the paranormal event manager at the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Now, Brandi, any place that has an employee with the title paranormal event manager, that makes me think there's obviously quite a few paranormal encounters there at the asylum.
There are. It's definitely a title I'm very proud of to get to experience, not just my own experiences, but everybody else's as well, to hear the feedback from our guests and, you know, whether it be a famous guest that's coming into film or just, you know, a ghost hunting team that has their own, you know, group, or even just the public coming in. And there's always a lot happening at the asylum. I almost never have disappointed visitors. So,
what kind of background then do you have that on your particular resume? They're like, she's the girl. Had you done paranormal investigations and had experiences in your own life?
I have. I've always been into the paranormal, even as a child. Where I grew up, there are a lot of just local ghost stories, a haunted abandoned tunnel, things like that. So I grew up on, and we have some phenomenal folklore books here in West Virginia that a lot of us grew up on. It was the book you were always trying to get out of the library before the next kid got it, because it was full of these West Virginia ghost stories. And there's a lot of rich, you know, paranormal history in the state in general. So for me, I had actually just kind of stumbled upon the position. I started out as a tour guide 9 years ago. Actually, this coming weekend starts my ninth season with the asylum. And I thought, you know, this would be a really cool job to go in and get to experience this with people and explore this, you know, phenomenal building. And I did have my, I guess I was a little skeptic about, is this place really as haunted as I've seen on TV, you know, and heard, kind of like a lot of people when they come in for their first time. And I didn't even get through my first night of training before I was like, yep, this place is every bit as haunted as what I was told. Myself and one of my guides that's still on staff with me, as she's also going into her ninth season, our very first night in training, we both saw a full body shadow figure apparition down at the end of the hallway. And we kind of did a double take and almost didn't want to tell each other, hey, did you see what I think I saw? Until finally someone said, one of you tell me what you saw. And sure enough, it was something that was commonly reported for that area. So that right there, I was kind of hooked. So I was a tour guide for several years. And then it just, you know, as people retire, and because it's a lot of work to keep up with the paranormal events and doing the overnights and staying up all night. So it was just one of those things where eventually I kind of worked my way up the ladder to the event manager. But it's all about the investigating and letting people experience what we get to experience and helping them, you know, just have these experiences.
Well, and as we were talking about in the first episode, the history of the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum is so fascinating, because there's Civil War history and there's a really dark history to the building, with people coming in and we were talking about lobotomies, which would have been horrible for people. So there had to have been a lot of really negative energy in that building, not to mention the thousands of people who died there. Historically, have the reportings of the paranormal been going on for a long, long time? You know, is there some early accounts?
We have found, or we've been told stories from past nurses and things like that that worked there when the building was in operation, of patients claiming paranormal events, even when it was in operation. In what was once the criminally insane building, which is a separate building, there were often reports, the female patients would report a man in their ward, which was an all-female ward. This was absolutely not allowed. Staff would come and check it out. There was never a man found in the ward. There were, you know, lots of reports of a ghost did it for certain incidents. And the catch-22 of that is, you know, it makes you wonder, well, how many things might have actually been paranormal, but nobody was going to take these patients seriously because of where they were.
You would say, well, look where you're at. You're in a lunatic asylum.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's, you know, to me, that's one of my more perplexing questions about the building is how many of those, you know, cries of paranormal from patients were real, but nobody was going to believe them because you're in the asylum. You don't know what you know, you didn't see that. So they may have marked it up to schizophrenia or something.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, mm-hmm. And so you never know.
Now this building itself is massive. You said in the last episode how big it was, and now I don't remember exactly, but square foot wise, this is huge.
Yep, 242,000 square feet.
Is that the main building or is that all of the buildings?
No, that's just the main building itself. That's just the Kirkbride building.
That's amazing. So when it closed in 1994, did it need a lot of restoration? And I'm assuming there's still parts of the building that aren't restored, obviously.
Correct. Not everything is restored fully. Now everything is secured and upkeep is there to where nothing is exposed to the elements or anything like that now. But we have left a lot of the wards in their original decrepit state, I guess you would say. And there's a lot of controversy even when it comes to the restored areas on whether that affects the paranormal activity or not. And, you know, we think it just varies with spirits. Some of them like to see the restored areas that, you know, we think it makes them more comfortable. Others, you know, they're set in their ways and they don't necessarily like change. So.
Right. Do you have certain spirits that certain ghosts that people have reported so many different times that it's obviously, yeah, that's Bob, you know, that type of spirit. Do you have any idea how many different spirits you have there, or do you kind of keep track of the ones that you hear about repeatedly?
We definitely have our more social ones, I guess you would call them. They're not necessarily all friendly, but we do have our ones that are more you know, likely to interact with us or communicate with us when we set up a session. We have our ornery ones. We have some up on the fourth floor that, yeah, like you said, it's funny because that's literally how they'll be saying something. And we're like, oh yeah, that was Frank and Larry. You know, so, or people can be coming, they'll come downstairs to tell me about, you know, an area they were in and something that happened before they can even tell me, you know, too much about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know who that was. So we do have our, like I said, our more social spirits that they love the interaction. And a lot of people, one of the common questions is, why are you still here? Because some people think, why would any spirit want to stay here after, you know, the history of this place? Like you said, the dark history here. But it goes right back to the same ones that were transferred, that this is their home. Most of the time, the spirits, when they're asked that question, they just say, you know, I don't want to leave, or this is my home. So, like I said, we have our ornery ones. We have ones that like to talk about baseball. We have areas that are known as just that area that'll make your stomach drop, and very the fear factor wards, you would call them, that almost everybody's like, man, this don't feel right, but you still investigate it because that's what it's about.
Right. And I think, too, with a spirit like that, and especially in a facility like this was, people came here. There was no expectation of a lot of them getting better and leaving. A lot of people were dropped off there because their families couldn't handle them, or we talked about in the last episode. Wives were dropped off there because, for any reason, the husband could just say, you know, she's crazy. Here you go. She's all yours. And he could.
Yeah. If he wanted to run off with his mistress, then yeah, that's all he
had
to do was that.
No rights. So when you think about it like that, a lot of these people had no place else to go. You know,
and one thing that we practice with our paranormal investigations at the asylum is one of our number one rules is being respectful. We definitely don't allow any kind of provoking or anything that might be disrespectful to the spirits. The way we look at it is we are going into their home. You know, we're the visitors. And especially for those of us that are there a lot, like myself and my staff, a lot of the time, if somebody upsets a spirit and it does, you know, want to maybe, you know, lash out, whether it be, you know, scratch somebody or, you know, make them feel ill or something like that, it happens to one of the staff. It doesn't get, you know, the guest doesn't usually get some exciting story to take home, because it's the spirits look at us as their friends, as the staff there, because we try to treat them with respect. You know, we don't walk up and down the hall saying things like, "Are you ready for your lobotomy?" That would, you know, there's a big difference in investigating a place like a hospital versus a prison. And I'm not saying that it's okay to go into a former, you know, old prison and investigate aggressively or anything like that either. But it's definitely two different types of people that were housed there, you know, versus an asylum or, you know, a prison or places like that. So we're very adamant about being respectful and treating, you know, the spirits of our facility, you know, like your friends. And it usually gets you a much better session that way. We the worst we usually have happen is they will curse at us. we've been throwing some vulgarities from some of them. That's for sure. But generally, I don't consider there's anything evil or, you know, malice in the building, but we have some grumpy ones.
Do you find there's more, because it's massive, there's so much space in there, that have you explored all of it paranormally? Have you even had that opportunity because there's so much space? Or is there parts of the building that are really, you're not able to enter safely?
Right. There are, for the most part, the main building is completely accessible. There are only a few places, like maybe a couple rooms, where we're not entirely sure about the floor situation type thing. So we do have like that particular room lock, but you can explore every ward, and the majority of the rooms are accessible. The only thing that I personally haven't, explored or investigated in my 9 years there is the clock tower, for good reason. It's, you know, obviously only maintenance goes up there, and that's to maintenance the clock tower, paint it, things like that, because it's scaffolding and things like that. But I won't lie, I would love to get in that clock tower. and then we do have a basement, but it is a lot of flooding, some cave-ins, things like that, pipes running through where you can't necessarily get through parts of the tunnels at this point. So, but otherwise, the main grounds itself, we've pretty much investigated the majority of the buildings. We also do investigations of the medical center, what was the criminally insane building, and the geriatrics building as well. So most of the buildings we have investigated, with the exception of the one we use as our haunted house.
And that's kind of like a attraction at Halloween time.
Right. They work on that year round, because we have an amazing haunted house. So that, and them being able to work on it year round without having to, you know, to break down or anything because of us giving tours and things like that, makes it, that's how they're able to make it such a phenomenal haunted house every year. So,
well, and the
we
reason,
don't get to go in that one, but for good reason.
And why I asked was because it's so big there. I was wondering if there are places on the grounds that are definitely more haunted than other places.
Oh yeah. There are a lot of nights, especially as manager, when it's a public hunt, I'm typically down in the break room, if not right outside the building, right on the front steps, while the guides are, you know, out with the guests and showing them the building and giving the tours. And the front lawn especially is, I mean, there's all kinds of activity on the front lawn. I have seen shadow figures. I have seen light anomalies in the front yard. We've even heard things coming out of other buildings that, and we went and checked, you know, I'd call a guide and say, "Hey, I need you to come with me to check this out security wise. The building was secure, nobody inside," things like that. So the property itself, very much, you know, very, very haunted, lots of activity on the property.
So of course you do paranormal investigations out there all the time. What are some of the findings, like the more interesting things that you've heard from some of these investigations?
I really like the, we get a lot of intelligent responses. We definitely have some very intelligent spirits in the building. We will have guests that will ask maybe a, you know, especially in the children's ward, they will start a nursery rhyme and ask them to finish it while using a spirit box or something of that nature, an ovulus, something that they can, you know, manipulate words with. And a lot of the time, you know, if they say Mary had a little, and then lots of people will come back and say, oh, they said lamb, or shaving a haircut up on the fourth floor. You can go up there and start it. And a lot of the time you will get the last two knocks. They will do that for you. Those are very, very common reports. There is a shadow figure that we see up on the fourth floor. Almost everybody has seen him rocking back and forth in front of the window. A lot of the times guests will come and tell us about it before we have even told them, because we do things that we see all the time. We will maybe leave out of certain areas so that it doesn't seem like we're planting seeds, right, as I like to call it. A sidekick to help them experience this stuff on their own. So it's really cool when they can bring that stuff back to us before we even told them that that's a common report there.
Have there been any investigations that came back to you? Because these are you've had some big time paranormal investigators come out there. Have you had any come to you after they investigated with something that really surprised you?
Actually, yeah, just fairly recent. We had some YouTubers come in, and I had taken them on the tour, told them about, you know, some of the hot spots and a couple of my personal theories just based on different activity in areas. And the information they got when they went to that area and were talking about it was, I mean, it blew my mind even, because it backed up what I had said about, you know, it potentially being a male spirit in that area. And I mean, it was just really, really neat for them, you know. And they even said when they filmed it, because when I watched the episode, they were like, she's going to lose her mind when she sees this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, you know, that happened like that. It was really, really cool.
And from your own experiences in there, my guess is you've been in there a lot when no one else is really around.
Yep.
Have you come to expect to see certain spirits in certain places, or does it frighten you at this point? Are there some that you're like, oh, I really don't want Frank and Larry to show up today. I can't.
It's funny you say that, because it's really all of the above. And I'm there a lot by myself. I do the photo tours as well, so I'm there day and night. Sometimes there are other guides and other tour guides and guests around, but there are occasions when it's just myself and either, you know, filming crew or something like that. And for the most part, there was an area that typically I really did, basically going down towards what we call lobotomy recovery area. I did not like walking that one ward by myself, because I had a couple incidents where I felt like I couldn't breathe walking through there, or we would hear footsteps either in the ward above us when there was nobody else there. Myself and my guide would go up, check, nobody there, like heavy footsteps. So it was a ward that I would always keep my guard up, I guess you would say, when I walked through. And there's others that, I mean, you almost get desensitized to it after 9 years, and it's kind of just like, oh yeah, I'm not in the mood to stop today. You know, Frank and Larry, we'll talk later. You know, so
too busy.
But we had done typically, like I said, I did not like walking that ward alone. And after a filming last season, I was going through to lock up the building. All of the crew was still there, but they were packing up, kind of, you know, wrapping up, doing their thing. And I went down to lock a set of doors that any other time, I mean, it was that ward that I would have just walked through without blinking an eye. Wouldn't have thought too, you know, nothing about it. And when I made the turn to go into Ward 4, there was some kind of dark shadow figure. It wasn't like anything I'd ever seen before. And for some reason, there was just something about it that made me say, yeah, that's a whole lot of nope. So when I got to the door that I was after, I was like, I hope this locks from the outside, because I'm not walking back that ward by myself tonight. And sure enough, lucky for me, it did. Locked that door from the outside and walked down the back of the property to go back in the back door. And I told him, I was like, I'm not sure what exactly that was, but it made me sick to my stomach. Like, there was just something about it that it was like, I'm not messing with that tonight. I'd been there 5 nights in a row, had been, you know, all over the place. And I don't know if, I don't know if it was just, that was the building's way of saying, you know, I'm sick of you this week. You need to go home.
Or what? Do you think that sometimes when you're tired or different, when you're experiencing different feelings, anxiety, whatever, you know, spirits can kind of come in different ways too.
And we have a ward that I tell people, I'm like, if you show fear in this area, he feeds off of it. And it's not him trying to be mean. I think he finds it funny to scare people, honestly, which, I mean, if I ever come back as a spirit, I'm probably going to scare a bunch of people. I think it's funny too. And I think that's what got me with that one is it was the feeling I got in my stomach when I saw that one that made me go, yeah, no, because a lot of times I've walked and either even thought, well, was that just me? Was that my mind playing tricks on me? It was the emotion that came with this sight that made me go, yeah, no. After that, it got to where I was more nervous about walking down that ward by myself than I was the other side that I had previously been uncomfortable with. And I walked down that side, no problem, all the way down into lobotomy recovery by myself, all of October to lock up, and would follow the guide down the other side so that I knew there was still a guide and a group in the ward that I was locking where I saw that shadow figure, because it just, now I'm comfortable walking that ward, but it shook me that night. It was something that I was just like, yeah, I don't know what that was, but I'm not messing with whatever like that was tonight.
Now, do you do paranormal investigations like someone can set it up? Do they have to come in on their own with their own equipment? Do you kind of organize the paranormal investigations?
Well, we actually are paranormal stuff. We run year round. It does slow down a little bit in the wintertime, but it's starting to pick up now. Like this month, we only had a couple public ones. But if it's a team that has, you know, their own equipment and maybe wants to have the building all to themselves, then they can contact our office and they will help them to set up a private investigation where it would be a manager and a guide. They would get the tour if they would even want the tour. Some team likes to go in cold, you know, and not have any of that information. But we could set that up. Or if they go to our website and go to events, then we have our full year worth of events up there already. And they do book very early in advance because we do have a maximum of 40 people. Because if you get too many people in there, then that takes away from it as well. So we split into groups of 10 and you rotate floors every 2 hours. And that allows everybody to have a good experience, but not have 40 people in the same area, because that obviously would take away from an investigation. They can book, especially if they're a new investigator and just kind of want to get a feel for it, book a public hunt. We have our guides will stay with you on the floor if that's what you like. Everybody has different equipment, their own personal equipment. But it's all really, you know, they're all really good guides. I have amazing tour guides. I can't, you know, say enough about my phenomenal staff. And if they come in the summertime, I highly recommend maybe doing a daytime historic tour prior to, if they're in town for maybe, you know, 24 to 48 hours, come and do a daytime historic tour prior to coming in and doing your hunt. We have amazing historic guides that can give you know, so much more historic information than what I gave even on this. And then that gives you a little more insight for your upcoming investigation, maybe right, that night or the next night.
And the money that you raise from the tours, the daytime, the paranormal investigations, that goes back to the building and helping with, because a building that size needs continuous maintenance, there's ongoing restoration, I'm going to guess. So that money goes right back into the building.
Yep. And we have guests, you know, that come back every few years. And so we have a lot of people that can say, yeah, this wasn't done last time I got here, and this is phenomenal. So, you know, they can see where their money's going. They can see the restoration work, the before and after photos. We have, we just redid our museum rooms, and I believe we have even more now than what we did, but we have countless museum rooms to check out that has a lot of artifacts, a lot of the historic archives that we do have access to, things like that. It's definitely a very, very educating and interesting experience, whether you're there for the history or the paranormal or both.
Well, I'm telling you, the place sounds fascinating and terrifying all at the same time.
A little bit of both.
Brandy, I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for all this fascinating information about the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. And that wraps up our conversation. If you didn't listen to part one yet, make sure you do that. And if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archives and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for free. for 3 days. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and get everything there, all ad-free again. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.